Amen. Amen. The choir's on fire this morning. Amen. Let's give the choir a hand today. Amen. 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 First they told us they were healed. And since they know they've been healed, they still got some joy. Amen. Amen. Thank you for blessing our hearts today. Amen. I want to lift a passage of scripture today, the Gospel of Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Amen. We're going to read verses 31 and 32. And then skip down to verses 49 through 51. Amen. As we make our way toward Calvary. Amen.
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 Amen. Verse 31 reads like this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother.
Yes.
Verse 49, when they which were about him saw that he would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And then Jesus said unto the chief priest and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk today from the thought, don't let the devil win. Don't let the devil win. When I was a boy, there was a song, they don't sing it anymore. It used to say, don't let the devil drive. Don't let him ride, because if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Amen. And I have discovered that one of the greatest tools in the hand of the believer is the power of prayer. I feel sorry for anybody who does not know and has not experienced the power of prayer. Prayer will beat any shout you shout. Prayer will beat any dance that you dance. Because when you pray, you access the spiritual realm and you give God permission and room to release angels on your behalf to handle stuff in your life that you can't handle on your own. I need y'all to listen to me closely today. I say again, there is nothing like the power of prayer. It will beat any shout you shout. It will beat any dance that you dance. It will beat any scripture that you might read, because when you pray, the devil gets scared. Because you're releasing angels on your behalf assigned to your life to break through barriers you could not break through on your own. There is nothing like the power of prayer. I ought to have a witness in here today. One of the things I've discovered, one of the powerful aspects and avenues of the prayer life is the prayer of intercession. The prayer of intercession is a prayer that you make on behalf of somebody else. And the good news about intercessory prayer is it does not require the cooperation or even the knowledge of the person being prayed for. It benefits the recipient whether they are aware of it or not. Listen, now you know why that should have made some of y'all shout? Because what that means is some folk have been praying for you without your permission. Some folk have been praying for you and you didn't even ask for it. Some people have been praying for you and you didn't even know they were praying for you. The truth of the matter is you got some of the stuff you got and got where you are and didn't tell anybody about it because somebody else saw you going through what you were going through. They saw you going down, going under, and without your permission, they went into their prayer closet, called your name to God, released angels on your behalf, and you were trying to figure out how you got out of it. It was because somebody was praying for you. Anybody here know the only reason you're here today is because when you were acting a fool, stuck on stupid, going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, that when you would not pray for yourself, could not pray for yourself, somebody was praying on your behalf. It's called intercessory prayer. And one of the most comforting things I can think about is the promise that Jesus is my chief intercessor. One of the greatest things I can think about is that when nobody else will pray for me, I've got Jesus praying for me. And you know why that's comforting? Because Jesus never hates on me. Jesus never gets mad at me. Jesus ain't got problems with me. Jesus ain't wishy-washy. And sometimes Jesus never wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. Every day he sits at the right hand of the Father, making it his business to intercede on my behalf. I'm so glad I've got Jesus praying for me. I mean to know that Jesus is praying for me when I cannot and would not and would not even dare pray for myself. I dare say that there have been some jams I found myself getting out of because Jesus was praying for me. I would even say that there were some things waiting on me that I never experienced, some traps that the devil set for me that I never found out about because Jesus was praying for me. Is there anybody other than me in here glad to know that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercessions on your behalf? There are some blessings you receive because Jesus was praying for you. There are some miracles you receive because Jesus was praying for you. Would you help me encourage somebody else that may be feeling down and feeling alone? Would you tell about three people he's got your back? Some of y'all told the wrong person because they didn't shout. Tell them, I don't know how rough it is. I don't care how dark it is at night. Listen, I don't care how many tears you cried. Jesus has your back. Isn't that good news today to know that Jesus has may not look like it. It may not look like it, but he's got it. I know it may seem rough, but he's got it. How do you think you survived some of the stuff you survived? Would you, some of the stuff you went through, how do you think you've kept your sanity? Because most of us know we ought to be crazy in here right about now. It wasn't your spirituality. It wasn't your intellect. It wasn't your money. It was because when nothing else could help, when nobody else would answer, Jesus was praying for you from the throne room on glory. Let me tell you, all you've got to do is read the Bible. And you will discover that when Jesus gets to praying, things get to happening. You remember the tomb of Lazarus, don't you? You know, the first thing Jesus did was he started praying. That lets me know that when Jesus gets to praying, he can resurrect some dead stuff in my life. When Jesus gets to praying, he can move stones out of my way. When Jesus gets to praying, he'll renew my strength. When I feel like I'm giving up, when Jesus gets to praying, things I thought were over, he'll give me another chapter because he's got my back. Jesus is praying for you. In the text, we see a primary example of intercessory action and ministry of Jesus. He's on his way to the cross, and he's trying to give some last-minute instructions and encouragement to his disciples. In the text, he begins to talk to Peter and explain some things and share some things about what's going to be waiting on Peter in the near future. He lets Peter know that the devil has asked for him. The devil has asked for Peter. He wants him, he says, in order to sift him as wheat. When you sift something, what you do is you divide it and it goes in different directions. The devil, he brings division. He sifts you. Division is division. It's having more than one vision. What the devil is trying to do when he sifts you, he's trying to give you more than one vision so you won't know which way to go. He's trying to give you a vision over here and a vision over there to the extent that you won't know which way to go, which way to turn, or what to believe. And the reason some of y'all can't shout when you come to church is because he has your vision divided. Listen, he has you thinking about your bills at your house. He has you thinking about your child and your marriage. He's got you thinking about this and that and the other because he's trying to break you down. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to kill you. He wants to tear you apart. But the good news, Jesus tells Peter, have no fear, Peter, because I've already prayed for you. Listen, I know that must have made Peter feel good. I know it must have made him feel better until he got to the next sentence. Jesus says, I'm praying for you, but I'm not going to intervene, but I pray. And Peter, I haven't prayed that it be stopped, he said. I haven't prayed that you be rescued from it. He says, I'm going to pray that when it happens, your faith does not fail. And what that suggests is that there are some battles with the enemy that Jesus is not going to intervene on my behalf. There are some battles he'll stop, but there are other battles he'll pray for you while you go through the battle. In other words, there's some stuff you got to go through. I wish I had a witness in here today. There's some stuff you got to deal with. There are some problems, some situations, some troubles that you must go through as a test of your faith. If I'd never had a problem, I'd never know he could solve them. I'd never know what having faith in God could do. But through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in his word. Notice, Jesus does not pray that Peter get out of it. He does not pray that Peter does not go through it, but he prays that his faith will not fail him. You see, Peter was on the verge of becoming the head preacher and Jesus of the Jesus movement after the resurrection. Jesus allowed this battle because it would be in the battle that Peter learned how to fight. Because Jesus says, I don't need anybody leading in my movement who don't know how to fight. I need y'all to listen to me today. I don't need any weak folk. I don't need no wimps. I don't need nobody who can't take nothing. Let me say that again. I don't need no weak folk. I don't need no wimps. I don't need nobody that can't take some stuff. I need some folk in this battle who know how to fight. So I need to let Peter go through this situation because he's going to learn some stuff in this battle that would help him around the corner of tomorrow. The reason some of y'all are going through some of the stuff you're going through is because Jesus wants you to know how to fight. Do I have a witness in here today? He can't use no weaklings. He can't use no pimps, no cowards. If you're going to be a part of the Jesus movement, you've got to know how to fight. And what you're going through now is preparing you for what the Lord has waiting on you on the other side. That means that battles, y'all listen to me, that means that battles can be evidence of new assignments. Battles can be evidence that you're headed to the next level. Now here is the shout. The old song says he'll never put no more on you than you can bear, which means that there is nothing God will allow access in your life without having first equipped you with what you need to get through it and learn from it. Do I have a witness in here today? Which means if God allowed it, I can handle it. If God allowed it, I can handle it. I know it looks rough, but I can handle it. I know it looks dark, but I can handle it. Tell your neighbor you can handle it. I don't care what you're going through. You may not want to handle it, but God gave you what you need to be able to handle what you're going through. You might not like it, but you can handle it. That's why you can shout through it because you can handle it. That's why you can smile through it because you can handle it. Anybody here going through something right now, you don't like it, you wish it wasn't you, but you can handle it. Why? Because Jesus has your back. And while you're going through it, he's praying that your faith does not fail. Now, let me burst some of y'all bubble in here. Let me burst some of y'all. It's gonna get hot in here, so let me get comfortable. Y'all listen to me. The enemy is not after everybody. He's not after everybody. He's only after the anointed. If the truth be told, he don't even want some of y'all. See, there's a certain criteria you got to have to be on hell's most wanted list. There's certain characteristics you got to have to be on the wanted list. In the text, you've got to understand the Greek New Testament to understand this text. When Jesus says Satan has asked for you, the word you in the plural is in the plural text, which means that Jesus did not just say that Satan asked for you, but Satan has asked for you all, meaning all of the disciples. Literally, he says to Peter, I am letting you in on a secret because the others are not yet mature enough to handle what I'm telling you. How do you know they are not mature enough to handle it? Because in the scene before this, they were too busy fighting over seats to be talking about spirituality. So Jesus says some folks aren't spiritual enough to handle spiritual revelation. So sometimes the Lord will reveal things to Peter that are just not just for Peter, but they are for the whole gang around Peter. Sometimes the Lord will reveal things to you that are not just for you or about others that are in a relationship with you. So what the Lord will do is, listen, he will make you the responsible party to let the other people in your life aware of what the enemy is about to do, because they're not mature enough to see the devil coming. And sometimes you got to be mature enough to spot that rascal when he coming. That's why you got to always have somebody in your life who's smarter, wiser, and been with the Lord longer than you have. That's why young folk, you need to get with some of these old folk that have been on the road a long time and can give you some wisdom about some things in life, because they can see the enemy lurking when you can't. I told you a few weeks ago that the Lord gave the old people a sixth sense, and they could tell you some things and could tell you the trouble was up ahead. And that's why Jesus was telling Peter, he said, the others can't handle it, so I'm telling you, Peter, so that when you have gone through it, you can then strengthen your brothers. He wants the disciples because they have been anointed. They have been appointed and anointed. He wants you all because there was a destiny on your life as a result of the anointing in your life. There's a destiny that lies ahead of you, and he wants to destroy you before you get to your destiny. Peter, it's y'all's anointing that had caused the enemy to ask for you. Can I help somebody right quick, and then we're gonna go on? Do you know why all hell is breaking loose in your life? Because you're anointed. Do you know why you're going through so much opposition? Because you are anointed. That means every time the enemy raises hell in your life, you ought not cry. It ought to make you shout, because that means there's anointing on your life. That's why you have to realize that it's just a test. It's just a test of your anointing. And Jesus says, I'm not going to stop it. I'm not going to intervene in it, but I am praying for you. And how many know that if Jesus is praying for you, you can stand the test? If Jesus is praying for you, you can stand the test. Now, notice in the text. Notice if you didn't close your Bible, notice in the text. Jesus does not call him Peter. He calls him Simon. Simon. That's interesting because that's the name that Jesus told him he would not no longer be called. You remember when Jesus said, "You're not Simon, but you are Peter." Jesus calling him by the name he said you would no longer be called by. So why does he call him Simon? I mean, if he's already told me he's not going to call me Simon anymore, why does he call me Simon? He's calling him by the name associated with his former life. Can I tell y'all what the Spirit told me? Can I? What Jesus is trying to tell Peter is that the enemy knows that as anointed as he is, as saved as he is, some of what you were is still around. Oh, come on. The devil wants to plug into some of that nature that's still there. Oh, some of y'all trying to act cute in here and act like, you know, you all of that. Don't act like some of your old nature ain't still around. Don't act like some of what you used to be ain't still around. Y'all can get holy on me if you want to. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how sanctified you are, how anointed you are. There's still some Simon in all of us. If you don't believe me, listen, if you don't believe me, ask me. I'm pastor, easy going, mild mannered, but step to me in the wrong way, and you'll meet Simon. Talk to me the wrong way, you'll meet Simon. Say the wrong thing to me, you'll meet Simon. How many of y'all can say, "Pastor, you ain't by yourself"? I'm still dealing with some old stuff. There's still some old men inside. And if you catch me on the wrong day. If you catch me wrong, you might see some Simon. He calls them Simon because Jesus knows in just a little while they will be in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, and Simon will show up there. Now y'all been shouting. Y'all been jumping up and down, but let me get real with you. I need you. I need y'all to listen to me closely. I need all eyes on me. I need y'all to listen to me because this is going to help our church. Reverend Washington, as messed up as Peter was, you really would have thought that Jesus would have expelled him from being a disciple. I mean, really, listen. Peter would cuss you out. Just to look at you. You didn't cross Peter. I mean, really, you would think that Jesus would have said, let me get a replacement. And you would think that the other disciples would have went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, we can't work with Simon. You know, you got to get somebody else to be the leader. We can't work with Peter. We can't work with this leader. When he gets mad at us, he cusses us out and always pulling out his knife like he gonna cut us or something. We can't work with." You want us to work with Peter? Even his own brother Andrew. All my life growing up, Peter was always picking on me. You want me to work?
Come on, Pastor. You making it plain.
Now, this is the same Peter that Jesus questioned the disciples, said, "Who do men say I am?"
I know that. Yeah.
Same Peter. Some disciples said, "Well, some say you are Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. You know, let's talk all over town. You're this and that." He said, "Well, now let me ask you a personal question. Who do you say that I am. And none of them were confident enough but Peter. Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon the profession of your faith, Peter, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is the same Peter. In the text, we're going to get to it in a minute, when they came to get him, Peter pulled out a sword. Cut off the soldier's ear. You would think that would have been enough. But Jesus said, I can't, you're too hot-headed. Can't control your temper. You don't need to be a disciple. You hadn't got control of yourself. Listen, I don't think Peter was really fully saved until Pentecost. I don't read that anywhere, but it said right here, when you are converted.
That's right, Pastor.
Which lets me know that Peter still had some stuff he had to deal with.
Yes.
Where am I going with this? Listen. If Jesus could work with Peter.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Come on.
If the disciples could work with Peter.
Come on.
If Jesus didn't put Peter out,
come on, Pastor.
Who are you to try to put anybody else out? All of us got some struggles. All of us got some hang-ups. All of us got some Simon Peter in us.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And if we'd spend more time working on our stuff, and less time trying to get somebody else straight, we'd be better. Can I tell you, you will not be fully converted until you're out of this body.
Amen.
As long as you got breath in this body, you won't be struggling with something. Something's wrong with you. Something you got to work on. Same Peter.
Yeah.
So Jesus says, Jesus was praying, and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. While he was praying, the disciples were sleeping. While you and I are sleeping, do you know that Jesus is praying for you?
All right.
While Jesus was yet speaking, Judas walked up and kissed him to identify who was to be arrested. Peter, who was, listen, can I tell y'all something? They just killed a fella that they called Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
I didn't know him. Matter of fact, somebody told me it was Nipsey Russell. I said, no, that was a comedian. He died years ago. No, it wasn't. But I found out it was Nipsey Hussle, not Nipsey Russell. And they thought it was gang related because he was a former gangster. You know how it is in California, man. Those gangs are real tough. Can I tell y'all that ain't nothing new? You know there's nothing new under the sun. Can I tell y'all who the original gangster was? It was Peter. Are y'all hearing me? Listen, don't fool yourself. Peter was an OG. Yes, he was. Peter would cut you from A to Z. He was the original OG. He declares that nobody gonna take you, Jesus. I'm here. Y'all see these preachers come in and they got these fellas lined up around the wall like they ain't nothing but window dressing. But Peter.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand it. I don't need nobody to hold my Bible.
I
don't need nobody standing there while I'm preaching. It says to me, they must not trust Jesus, because listen, as long as I'm doing what he wants me to do, how many know the Lord ain't gonna let nothing happen to me? But Peter says, ain't nobody gonna take you. Matter of fact, I've told you this before, Peter was actually a thug. Can I tell you that a thug is sometimes a good thing to have around? Somebody that will cut somebody. Listen. Matter of fact, I used to have one or two. I don't know what happened to them, but I used to have a thug or two in this church. Matter of fact, Deacon Thompson used to carry a blade around with him every now and then. And I need some thugs in my Moriah that will declare that ain't nobody gonna talk about my pastor. I ain't gonna let nobody run down my pastor. I ain't gonna let nobody run my church down, talk about my church. Listen, I'll cut somebody about my pastor and my church. I wish I had some thugs up in here today. Can I get one or two thugs in here today that are not ashamed to admit, Pastor, I'll be a thug for you. I'll cut somebody about my Mariah. I'll cut somebody about my pastor. The soldiers get there, and they're about to arrest Jesus. Peter gets a sword and cuts off the soldier's right ear. Jesus just told him that Satan desires to have you. Assault on a Roman soldier was a capital offense, punishable by death. Peter is now facing the same fate as Jesus, possibly to hang on the cross right beside him. After having warned him, after having prayed for him, Peter still messes up. Does that sound like anybody in here you know?
Amen.
Folk have warned you. Folk have prayed for you night and day, day and night, and you still mess up.
I know that's right. Yeah.
I ain't got no shout for you today. I ain't got no hoop for you today.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
But I need some honest folk in here today.
Yeah. Come on.
We're not going to sit in judgment of you.
Amen.
Nobody's going to go back and talk about you. I promise. But is there anybody in here today messed up recently? Come on, come on. Anybody? Come on, I need you to identify yourself. Anybody messed up recently? Come on. I ain't talking to all you holy folk. Y'all raise up your hand and tip on out the door. I need some honest folk. Anybody messed up recently? I mean as recent as yesterday. Anybody had some bad thoughts and looked at the wrong thing and thought the wrong thing? Anybody messed up recently, even though folk been praying for you, been warning you, but you still mess up? The text says, Jesus said, stop it. And I'm telling y'all today, stop this madness. Stop this mess.
That's the old word. That's the old word.
Stop this digging at one another. Fighting within the ranks. Stop it. Time out for it.
Amen.
All of us mess up.
That's right, Pastor.
Nobody in here know better than anybody else.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Your mess up may be different than my mess up, but it's still a mess up.
That's right. That's the truth.
Jesus says that's enough.
Amen.
It is enough.
Amen.
Jesus called us to love one another.
That's right. That's the word.
I don't have to like you to love you.
Amen.
And I don't mean to hurt your feeling, but some of y'all in here I really don't like, but I do love you. And it's not you that I don't like. I don't like your ugly ways, but I still love you. Only reason you're here today. Jesus healed the man, put his ear back on. Peter was guilty. But what Jesus did when he healed the man was he got rid of the evidence. And the only reason some of y'all are here today, the only reason you can sit in Mount Moriah is because Jesus got rid of the evidence. You know why the reason some of y'all pointing the finger at other folk? Because you know Jesus got rid of the evidence. Folk don't know about your stuff, so you can point the finger at somebody else. But listen, all of us. Stop it. We don't come here for mess. We don't have meetings for mess. And if you got to come here for mess, stay at home. Y'all hear me what I said? Do y'all know I can have church by myself? I do it all the time. Y'all ain't nowhere around. I don't just have church on Sunday morning. I have church.
Amen, amen, amen.
Yeah.
Amen, amen.
By myself. And as I leave today, that's all I got. I hope you will think hard about what I said. If Jesus didn't put Peter out, who are you?
Amen.
To put somebody else out. Nobody had more problems than Peter.
Come on.
But Peter was the head disciple. With all of his problems.
Oh Lord.
With all of his issues.
Oh Lord.
Peter. When Jesus needed something, he didn't go to James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew. He went to Peter. And said, this is what I need you to do. Are y'all hearing me today? Am I making sense? Are y'all getting the message?
Amen.
Now, I'm doing it real nice.
Yes, you are.
On a Sunday morning from the pulpit. But if it keeps up, Simon's gonna come out. And I'm not going to be as nice because it's time out for the foolishness.
Amen.
God is trying to bless this church.
Amen.
But how are we going to welcome in new people when we can't get along with the folk that are already here?
Amen.
Many of you have been married to folk for 30 years. You ain't liked them yet. I ain't lying. Y'all know I'm not lying. You don't like them. You don't like them. You just put up with them and deal with it and go on. Because you ain't about to leave your stuff. Child, if you think I'm leaving my house, you got another thing coming. So you get you a room and he get him a room. And y'all just go right ahead on. You got to learn to put up with some stuff and deal with some stuff. Come on, come on, come on, brothers. Come on, come on. I'm going to say something I'll be sorry for here in a minute. Amen. Doors of the church are open. If you're here today, maybe you're like Peter, you've messed up over and over and over again. The good news is Jesus got rid of the evidence on Calvary. The blood of Jesus has covered up all your mistakes. It's covered up everything you've ever done. And you can come to him with a clean slate. He's not going to be judgmental. Matter of fact, he don't even want to hear what you've done because he already knows it. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy.
Will your heart
my burden is
so
light.
Say yes.
Would you come today?
Will your spirit still say yes? Now will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? If I told you what I really need from thee, will your heart and soul say yes? So just say,
yes, yes.
Open up your heart,
yes, yes.
And tell the Lord yes.
Yes, yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Say yeah, 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 yes. Say, I'll obey Jesus.
Yes.
I won't stray, Jesus. But this time I've made up in my mind, made up in my mind that I'll say,
yes.
Say yes. My soul says yes. My mind says yes. My heart.
Close. God, we thank you today for your preached word.
Yeah.
God, we thank you for opening the mysteries of the scripture.
See.
And revealing new truths. Now, God, there may be somebody here today say, preacher, you were talking to me. You let me know today that even when I wasn't praying for myself, that somebody was praying for me. And when I look back on where I've been and what I've done, I realize that my mama, my grandmama, somebody was praying for me. And so, preacher, today I just want to thank Jesus for interceding on my behalf. I want to thank him for watching out for me when I was too dumb to look out for myself.
Say yes.
If that's you today, would you raise your hand? If Thank you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Somebody says, preacher,
require thee.
You were talking to me. Because I didn't realize that I've been going through so much. I've been dealing with so much. And you let me know today that's evidence that the Lord is preparing me for something. And I just want him to give me strength to be able to go through it, that my faith does not fail. I just need to be able to hold on and hang on.
Heart and soul,
if that's you today,
yes,
would you elevate your hand?
Yes.
Finally, somebody says, preacher, it was all I could do to stay in my seat because you said that Jesus covered up the evidence. Preacher, there's just so much stuff I've done that folk don't know about. Nobody knows it, but Jesus knows it. And he covered up the evidence.
Say yes.
I just want to thank him today
for
being a covering for me.
Say yes, yes.
If any of that fits you today, would you get up out of your seat?
Will your spirit still?